Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be back. It's a bit scary though, you know, because when I come back, it's a year has gone past just like that, you know. And it's so fantastic to see Luke and Donna here and the little Malachi, you know. And I remember putting my hand on your tummy and speaking that that baby would come forth and be a blessing to you. Well, there he is, and he's sound asleep. Isn't that amazing? You know, so wonderful to be back here. Thank you, Clive. Thank you to all the other, and to our hosts, to Andrew and to Hazel, and to see so many of you that I've come to love so much. And Claire, what a blessing to see you too. A whole year has gone past, amen. And I just want to say, because I see some faces that I don't know. How many people have not met me before? Just, oh my goodness. So I need to tell you that there are some resources on the table there. And the resources are there for you to be able to purchase and be able to feed your spirit. Oh, I just remember I saw Trevor there. You know, that's amazing. Wow, it's lovely. And Juanita and Cherry. But the resources are not there for making money. They are there to advance the kingdom of God. And so there are four books there. Each of the books are on audio. And each of the books are on sticks. I mean, I don't know what you call them, USB, pen drives, I don't know what you call them anyway. But somebody, you can put it into your car if you've got a car that's got a slot. And you can even put it into your computer. And each of these has a whole book on it. Some people like to listen and some people like to look. I'm a book person myself, but they're there. Is there anybody that likes to listen and has the facility of listening with a pen drive? Yes? Whoop, there you go. Sorry, I'm flowing my hanky down. Whew. Do you know, I like this, isn't it? I can manage this a little bit better than before. So there's four books. I just want to tell you about the cross. Lovely, lovely worship. Do you know, how many of you go back a little bit? I go back a bit with Skippy. And I remember I got hold of that. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I am happy all the day. Changed it a bit, but the truth is there, isn't it? And this is showing you the cross through the Bible. And for those of you who haven't a clue who I am, I had a granddaughter that was severely anorexic and in a psychiatric ward. And God told me that the only thing that would bring her through would be the cross. And he wanted me to write every day to her about the cross that he would show me in the Word of God from the beginning to the end. And I never knew I was writing a book. So that's all about that one. I just picked up the other. There is one about the eagle there. Most people love eagles, don't they? And you know, we're meant to be eagles above our circumstances, amen? And that book will help you to soar above your circumstances because it takes the life of an eagle and shows us from the practical side of an eagle how we too can rise up with wings as an eagle. Then, how to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. I never knew if it was possible because you can't see him. So we have to learn how to recognize him in the Word of God and be sensitive to him. He's here now. And that's why we love to worship Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He magnifies Jesus to us, in us, and through us. So that is all about the Holy Spirit and recognizing him in the Word of God. And the last thing I wanted to say, because I know some of you have come before to our big conference. Do you want to come this year too? Oh, I'll see you afterwards, okay? Because it was such a special time, wasn't it, Luke and Donna, last year? It really was. So I know that here, Anita's really good. She can reproduce some of these if people want them. I've only got a few left now. We'd love to see you there at our conference in Telford. Okay, that's that. Now then, I want to say, come on, Skippy. Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, okay. Oh, it's nice. I don't usually see you from this angle. I'm usually underneath. Yeah. He really quite badly damaged his Achilles tendon, and so he's a little bit dot and carry one. It's on improvement, yes. But his voice is still there. And I want to ask him to sing Over Us. Oh, is that okay with you? Yes? Just close your eyes and let the... Okay. Yes, you can.
In any case, it's in his presence. That's where you are. In your presence, that's where I belong. In your presence, O Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I am strong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of a rock, in your presence, O Lord, you are my firm foundation. I trust in you all day long. I am your child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song in your presence. That's where I belong, in your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence. That's where I belong, seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of a rock, in your presence, O Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, as somebody was praying this morning, and it just caught my spirit that in his presence there is an empowering by the Holy Spirit. And that just caught me on the inside. And you know, his presence is here. And it's an empowering presence to bring us through, to bring us higher, closer, where we belong, where we can be strong, where the situations that we can't seem to alter, where the stretchiness in our lives, anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Yes, my sweet. And you know, the message God has given me, I make no apologies. This is something I'm sharing probably in most places where I go, because it's life to me. And when it's life to me, it'll be life to you as well. And I want to tell you how it came about, because then I think you'll understand it more. The message comes from Isaiah 45, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Who is his anointed today? Yes. Come on, some of you are not sure. If you're in Christ and you're born again, you are anointed. The anointing reigns in you. So The Lord says to his anointed, who are his anointed? Say, it's me, Lord. You need to believe it because you have it by faith. You don't have it unless you believe it, okay? Even though it says it, you don't have it and experience it until you believe it. So thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, he was a man that God chose. He wasn't a believer. He was from the outside of God's people. Amazing. Whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will unarm and ungird the loins of kings to open the doors before him so that gates will not be shut. There is a movement of God in this day and age where God is raising up unusual people. Do you understand what I'm talking about? People that we wouldn't choose, people that we thought should be, weren't. And then this is the way God is moving in this new season. And it is a new season. And the nations are going to be affected by it. And then what will happen is there will be the kings that have reigned against nations and against families and against churches and against individuals. They're going to be unarmed. They're going to be totally unarmed. So that what will happen is there will be open doors instead of closed doors. Some people have felt as if you've been pushing and pushing and the door hasn't opened. But God is saying he's opening the door. It's going to happen because he is releasing the anointing and the anointing to open doors so that gates will not be shut. Amen? Verse 2, I will go before you and level the mountains. Anybody got mountains? Well, this is a promise. This is the word of God. He is the promise keeper. We've sung it. The way maker. The miracle worker. The promise keeper. Light in the darkness. That's who he is. Amen. He says, I will go before you. He doesn't say, I might go before you if I've got enough power. He said, he doesn't say, I might if you're very good. Or you read your Bible a lot, or you go to church, or you pray a lot, and you get on your face before God. No, he doesn't make any conditions. He just says this, I will go before you and level the mountains to make the crooked places straight. Oh my, hasn't he done it in your life and my life? Yes? I was so crooked you wouldn't have even imagined that you could imagine how crooked I was. How deceived I was, how proud I was. I mean, you're all the things, the miry clay that we've sung about today. He took me out of the miry clay and he placed my feet upon the rock. And if you're born again, that's where you are. That's where you are. And he makes the crooked places straight. He says, I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. The anointing destroys the yoke. Any yoke of sickness, any yoke of bondage, any yoke that comes from the past, he says, I am going to break it asunder because my anointing is stronger than anything else. And you know, I was reading this and I was getting quite excited about it. And then he stopped me. And it says in verse 3, and I will give you. And he made it personal. He said, Jill, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you might know that it's I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. I've read it, I knew it, but suddenly it was like he gripped my spirit. And he says to me, Jill, you've got a completely wrong concept of darkness because you don't like it. And you want it to change. Anybody like me? You have a situation and you seek God because it's bad. You don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. I'm talking about darkness in the broadest possible way. And he says to me, Jill, you've got a wrong concept of it because you want it to go. You want it to go before I can reveal my treasure to you. And I thought, oh, wow, yeah, I can see that, Lord. And you know, when you begin to see something in the scriptures, he then brings you into a situation where you actually experience it. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Yes. And it can take you by surprise. Hi, Christine, I just seen you. Bless you, love. Listen, I'm pondering this. I'm sort of trying to get my to grip around understanding what he promises. I will give you the treasures of darkness. And I said, okay, you know more than I do, Lord, so you're going to have to teach me. It's a good way. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful, the best teacher you can possibly have, okay? And when you give him permission to teach you, well, he does. The trouble is, well, the challenge is that he doesn't tell you how he's going to do it. That's the challenge, okay? So it can come as a kind of surprise. Well, I was going to preach in November, beginning of November. I had an all-day conference. I was the only speaker, so I knew I had a lot to prepare. And anybody that's a preacher knows that you very have to be focused, you know. You don't lose your attention at all. And I'm all peaceful, and I'm focused, and I have this word, he will give you the treasures of darkness. And I have a phone call. A phone call at 10:45 at night. I am not expecting a phone call. I'm not expecting anything. And I answer the phone. And it's our son. And our son proceeds to tell me, Jill, your youngest grandson, our son, has been sectioned. He's gone off his head. I'm shocked. It's totally unexpected. What do you do when you get news that you don't expect? Everything within me said, Lord, bring him back from the edge. Give him his sound mind that you've said in the word. Change things now. Let him have, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, Jill, haven't you forgotten? There are treasures of darkness that I will give you. I wanted it changed. I wanted it to go, the news I'd heard. And, you know, I didn't sleep much because I was struggling with this darkness that suddenly had enveloped me. And I know enough to know that I've got to get my peace back because I can't preach unless I am in right with God, you know? And I'm trying to get rid of this thing that has kind of come, this news that has taken hold of my spirit. And all he kept saying to me was, I will give you the treasures of darkness. And I'm preaching about it the next day. Anybody know it wasn't an easy situation at all? Yeah. But God began to take me that night through the Bible because I said to him, I want you to teach me, Holy Spirit. I don't feel as if I've got any treasures. I can't see any treasures. And you told me I'm not understanding it right. No, this is my conversation with the Lord. And he said, yes, I will teach you. Go to the beginning. And you know what? He took me a walk through the Bible. And I just want to share with you how he taught me and how he can drop. Because, you know, there is going to be darkness. Maybe there is right now a difficulty in a relationship. Maybe right now disappointment has come into your life. Or right now pain is racking your body. Whatever it is that is there or might in any way come to you, we have to know how to get the treasures of darkness. Because I believe the word. But now I believe it, but how can I get it? You know? And if you don't have treasures, how can you give treasures to anybody else? You know? Is that true? Yeah? So, this is what he said. In chapter 1 of Genesis, I'm not going to share with you anything that you don't know. I believe that you'll know it, but see it in a different way. So would you just like to say with me, Holy Spirit, I want to see and experience the treasures of darkness you have for me. Go on, you say it in your own words to the Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, show me your treasures. Help me to take them into my spirit so that I've got all the treasures of darkness that you want me to have and to give to other people. I open my spirit, Lord, to see and to be taught by you, because I want to be that person that can say, your word works for me. You promised. You're the promise keeper. You will give me treasures of darkness. So Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, and fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. It was empty. It was waste. And great darkness was on the face of the very great deep. And he stopped me there and he said, can't you see, Jill? I don't have a problem with darkness. It's not a problem to me. So you've got to begin to see through my eyes that every difficulty, everything that feels dark, everything that's pressing in is not a problem to me. It is a time of exposure to the treasures of darkness. Listen, what happened? God saw the greatest darkness that you and I have probably never seen at all. And what had to happen? It says the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the darkness. So if you are going to get the treasures of darkness and be able to have them and give them and be a more than a conqueror, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to hover over you. Whenever that situation is scheming to press into you, that night, that's what had to happen to me. The darkness was pressing into me, but the Holy Spirit was hovering over me. And when the Holy Spirit moves upon the darkness, then the word of God comes. And God spoke and said, let there be light. Amen? So when you are in your situation that you can't see a way out, you've got to allow, invite the Holy Spirit to come and brood over you so that the word can go forth in power and change things and bring light and bring treasures out of the darkness. Amen? So then he said something else to me. He said, Joe, not only is darkness not a problem to me, but actually I do my best work in darkness. I thought, oh, wow. So I said, show me, Holy Spirit. Show me. You see, I believe when God speaks to me. I just believe it. So he said, go to chapter 2 of Genesis. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a great deep darkness to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs, a part of his side, and closed up the place, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. I said, I know that story, Lord. So you brought darkness to Adam. The reason was that Adam had something in him that he didn't know existed. And I want to say to you, you have potential inside you that hasn't yet been brought forth because you've tried to run away from your darkness. You've tried to get past the difficulties without receiving the treasure. When God allows darkness, and sometimes he brings it, sometimes it's our own fault, sometimes it's other people, sometimes it's just situations, but you need to know, I will give you, that's what he says, I'll give you the treasures of darkness, because in you and in me is a potential that I don't know about and you don't know about. That treasure is going to release the potential in your life. Hallelujah. Just hey, Lord, I've got potential in here I don't know anything about, but I give you permission to bring out that treasure in whatever situation I find myself. Amen? You and I have to agree with the Word of God and see that revelation that God knew what was in Adam. He didn't. But in that darkness, he brought forth a treasure, and it was good because he brought man and woman together. Yes? Listen, and I began to get excited as I saw. I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm seeing that potential is released in. It is the treasure of darkness that you've got inside me. So then, which way shall I go, Lord? Yeah, okay. Chapter 7 of Genesis. This is all about Noah. In the verse 11 of chapter 7 of Genesis. In the year 600 of Noah's life. Oh my. Nobody's even 100 here, I dare say, right? Skippy might be nearer than most of us, you know, but he's not there yet. And aren't you glad you don't have to press through your darkness for 600 years? I mean, you know, doing what everybody else thought was crazy, making a boat when they had no water at all. But he did it because he was faithful. And when we're faithful to God, listen what happens. In the 17th day of the second month, that same day, all the fountains, and I just looked at it. I said, Lord, I never noticed it. All the fountains of the great deep darkness were broken up and burst forth, and the windows on the floodgates of the heavens were open. Listen, Noah pressed through in obedience to God. He took no notice of the people that didn't understand him, thought he was crazy for all those years. It took 200 years to build the ark. I mean, you know, this is something that was really difficult, really challenging to him. But there came a day that he didn't know what was going to happen. I guess, and it is my guess, I'm not saying this, that he thought the rain would come, you know. But he never knew that underneath there in the great darkness was going to burst forth a breakthrough that would float the ark and keep it afloat. Listen, there are treasures of darkness for you and I that are ready to break through into our lives. Break through in health. Break through in healing. Break through in relationship. It happened and they floated because of what was released from underneath. There are treasures of darkness to be released to every single one of us. Amen? And you don't know how they're going to get there? Well, I'm saying God's got hidden resources that are going to burst through. And I want to speak that the breakthrough that you are needing, it's coming as a treasure of darkness. It is coming. Can you come here? I want to just speak over you. That breakthrough you're needing in the mighty name of Jesus is coming. It's going to break through because of the treasures of darkness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, listen. Believe the word. He says, I will give you treasures of darkness. Don't try to run away from them. So God took me on then. And he took me then to Abram. Chapter 15, I'm not saying this is exhaustive, please. You'll probably find lots more than I did. But it was enough to excite me and believe the word, okay? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. God spoke a fantastic word to Abram, but he couldn't receive it. Because he was encompassed with darkness. Because he didn't have a child. He only had a servant in the house. And he couldn't bear the thought that everything that God was going to give him, he'd not have anybody to give it to. So he was encompassed in darkness. But what did God do? He says to him, get out. Go outside. Go under the darkness and look up at the stars. Anybody been there? You can't see the stars when there is light. They don't shine out at all. They're only there when it's dark, you know? Skippy and I had a prophetic word, and we had no idea how it was going to evolve. And it was, go out under the darkness of the sky and look up at the stars. And we had to leave the city of Palma in Mallorca, where we live, because you couldn't see the stars. So we went right out, didn't we, into the countryside, where it was pitch black. And we stood under the stars together, and we handed over our lives again, our ministry, our family, in every way. And we said, whatever, whatever, Lord. And you know, when you do that, God goes into action. But again, it's not necessarily how you expect it to be. And we arrived back, having just done that in Mallorca, to where we were pastoring, and the leadership decided that we didn't fit there anymore. That was amazing. We weren't expecting it. They were my family, you know, people we'd sold our lives into, and we didn't fit there anymore. How many of you know that sort of situation causes you to run to God and seek him? What are you doing, Lord? And I didn't have this revelation then of the treasures of darkness. All I knew was that it was encompassing me, and we needed to see the light. And I tell you, God brought us and took us from UK to Mallorca. And we wouldn't be doing now what we do now if it had never happened. And you, what you have to do when things like that happen, keep your spirit right. If you are bitter or resentful, and you know, the thing is this, that sometimes things happen and you can't talk about it to people, but it's inside. Talk to him. Give it to him. Whatever you do, let the Holy Spirit hover over you and hear the word of the Lord. Because when the Spirit comes, the Word comes. And when the Spirit and the Word go together, that's when life flows to you. So I could see there. But I didn't, he said, Jill, you're missing something. Don't just stop there. And I can't read it all to you. But what happened was that God promised him that he would give him a son. And he went, it says here, Abram believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. And the Lord said to him, I am the same Lord who brought you out of the Chaldees and gave you this land as an inheritance. God was proving himself to be God because of what he'd done in the past. Are you understanding me? So that when things are pressing in, when you can't see the way through, God will say, look, I did that for you. I brought you out of darkness and into the kingdom of my son. I've taken you off out of the pit. I've delivered you from this, that, and the other. I've been faithful to you. And when we say, yes, Lord, I believe it, then he counts it to us as righteousness. Then God is prepared to show himself as a covenant-keeping God. You and I have to know that if we're going to receive the treasures of darkness, it comes from the covenant-keeping God that says, I am faithful. I'm faithful to my word. And this is what he did. He took Abram, and a great horror, a terror, a shuddering fear of great darkness assailed and oppressed him. And that's when God tells him what's going to happen in 400 years' time. That's when he tells him he's going to bring his people out from captivity. But in this verse 17 of chapter 15 of Genesis, When the sun had gone down, a thick darkness came upon, and the smoking oven and the flaming torch passed between, and God made covenant with Abraham. And he becomes our father of the faith, doesn't he? You know? We are descendants of Abraham if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this treasure that you're going to receive comes from a covenant-keeping God that says, what I say, I will keep. What I say, I will do. What I say, I have the power to do, because I do my best work in darkness. Yeah? Okay? So then, oh, goodness. He says to me, Jill, but you don't understand about darkness, do you? I said, well, yes, it's not nice, Lord. Yeah? Maybe you don't have a relationship with God like I do. Yeah? And he said, no, I want you to research darkness. So I did. And this is what it says. Darkness is simply an absence of light. Darkness is gloom, it's dimness, it's blackness, it's an illusion, because God's presence isn't there. It said that in Webster Dictionary, okay? He said, darkness is simply a void. It has no power whatsoever. So I'm thinking, oh my, why am I afraid of darkness? Why, when I was a little girl, when the lights went out, and the light coming in through the window, I used to put my head under the sheet and I'd look at my dressing gown on the back of the door and I'd say, Mommy, there's a bogeyman in my room. She said, don't be silly. It's nothing. And she switched on the light. And it was nothing. Darkness is a void that makes room for the enemy to distort what is true into something that disturbs you and me and affects our emotions, affects our mind, and brings fear into our lives. But darkness has no power whatsoever. And the Lord said to me, look at light. Light can be measured, can't it? You have the speed of light. You have laser beams of light that can do amazing surgery. It can be used, it can be utilized, it's got power. It's just light. Darkness cannot be used. But darkness is expelled by light because it's a void, it's an absence. So why do we fear it? And God said to me, he said, because when there's absence of light, it's the absence of your peace that you don't like, makes you feel like darkness. It's the absence when you feel lonely. It's the absence of a friend. You know, we have to see that darkness has no power whatsoever to the child of God at all. It can't be measured. It can't be used, only by the enemy that distorts everything. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I am seeing that it's no good whatsoever. And it says here, it's a void. It's got no reality at all. And he said to me, you've got to see that what comes out of darkness is a treasure. So I said, go on then, Lord, show me. Well, you know, but this is how he was teaching me. Where do you find the gold? In the earth. In the rocks, in the darkness. It's there, but it has to be found. And Skippy and I were staying with a lovely couple, and they like documentary programs, so they put on from Australia this documentary of the silver mines in Australia. And they, in the 1800s, they found silver seams of silver. And did anybody see it on the telly here? No? Well, I tell you, I was riveted to it because it was like the gold rush, you know? People were going into the darkness willingly to get the silver, to get the treasure. But They didn't have the right equipment. Over 800 men died because they didn't do it with the right equipment. Listen, you and I are not going to get the treasures of darkness if we try to do it in our own strength. The only way that we will receive the treasures of darkness is if we do it according to the Spirit of the living God. And you know, come the turn of the century, that silver was still in the mine. But now there was more technical ability, more knowledge of how. And it's still going. It's still one of the greatest producers of silver in the whole world. And they go down. But now they've got the right equipment. Now they've got breathing apparatus. Now they can take the treasure out of the darkness. You and I have got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through the darkness so that we get the treasure. What, the treasure? To give to other people. Yes. What about, you know, diamonds? They're found in the rocks, in the dark places. What about the pearl of great price that's found in an oyster? Deep down in the darkness, people risk their lives to go and harvest a pearl that's hidden away in the darkness. And you know what? My God did that for me and you. Jesus was like a root out of dry ground. He came from the splendor and the glory of heaven. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside his crown. And he came into the darkness. How do you think he felt coming into the darkness? He didn't squeal and squirm. No, he brought light into the darkness. And everywhere he went, he healed people. Everywhere he went, he delivered people. Everywhere he went, he showed the love of God to people. Because the darkness didn't affect him. It was there. He saw treasure in you and me. And it was worth it. When we learn what the treasures of darkness are, believe me, we will keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ because he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And then on the cross, 3 hours of darkness. Do you remember? The whole world got into darkness because the Son of God became sin and he took your punishment. He took your life. And said, I'm going to take it through the darkness so that you can be the treasures of heaven. He did it. He went into the grave. He went into hell. He went into the darkness of the darkness of the darkness to bring light, hope, and eternal life to us. My Jesus wasn't disturbed by the darkness. Why are we disturbed when people reject us? Why are we disturbed when we feel isolated or somebody says something that is not complimentary? We only see the darkness. We don't see the love of God. We don't see the light that can shine through into the darkness and dispel that darkness completely and utterly. And then he said to me, and he reminded me, Donna, oh, I prayed for that little baby, yep, Malachi. And he said, you know, sometimes you don't see what's inside you, but you begin to feel it inside you. Every one of us was created in the darkness of your mother's womb. Every one of us. The mum couldn't see it. The dad couldn't see the baby. Even you don't know. You know it's there because you're feeling it, yes? But it's in the darkness. But he promises, I will give you treasures of darkness. And there has to be a coming out of that treasure. And as I was sharing it that day, a beautiful, beautiful woman of God, 3 days earlier, gave birth to their 5th child. Little Esther, are you looking at the time? Oh, good. And do you know what? Suddenly she got it. She got it. She said, I've got the treasures of darkness. I've got it. It's come out of me. There is your treasure. There is your treasure. And there's more to come. Amen. Amen. Listen, we've got to see it with the eyes of the Spirit and not with the eyes of flesh. For instance, some of you are gardeners. I'm not, but I know a little bit about it. What do you do with a seed? You plant it in the darkness, don't you? If you keep it out in the light, it won't come to anything. There'll be no transformation. And if you and I didn't experience darkness and difficulty, I tell you what, we wouldn't be transformed. Think of the difficult times you've had in your life. Isn't that the time when God reveals himself as your treasure? Amen? That's when you prove him to be your God. That's when you know that he's your daddy and he cares for you and he's going to bring you forth. That seed has to be planted or there will be no fruit. Oh my, oh my. Listen, I hope you can get excited about this message because it's good news. Listen, you truly have the eternal, immortal seed of God in you. And it's everything of Christ. When you're born again, you have the seed within you. And in those dark times, in that difficult time, that's when it begins to spring forth. That's when the life of Christ begins to show in your life. That's when it hurts and you've got to forgive somebody you don't feel like forgiving and you do it the right way and you say, God, I choose to forgive them. The seed of the immortal seed of Christ himself in you begins to sprout and the character of Christ begins to live not just in you but through you. And you become more reflecting the glory of the risen Christ. And he's telling me all this. And I'm getting it and I'm thinking, yes, 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 Lord. I'm really wanting these treasures. And then I thought, but I've got a problem, Lord. Because he asked me, what do you do when you plant a seed? Now, if I'm out of order, I think you dig a hole, yes? And you take the seed. And you push it in, and then you cover it up, and you have to wait. Is that right? Technically, a bit, anyway, right? Oh, you water it. There you go. That's it. All right. But I said, there's another way that we dig holes, and it's not quite the same, Lord. And he said to me, when you bury something or someone, you have to dig a hole, a bigger hole, and you put that body in it, and you cover it up, don't you? I said, but that doesn't seem to produce any treasures. Oh, he said, you're only seeing it from your natural mind, Jill. If you see it with my eyes, you'll see I am asking you to let go of your past. Bury it. Don't try and dig it up again. Listen, when a dog buries a bone, he'll go back and he'll dig it all up again, won't he? And he'll think he's found something new. Stupid. But we do exactly the same. We'll say, Lord, I let go of that difficulty. I let go of what hurt me all those years ago. I let go of my past. And then something happens, and I'm there digging it up again. And I'm thinking, but it still hurts me. Still hurts me. You know? No, he said, to get the treasures of darkness, you have to bury it and let it go and move on. And you then remember what God has taught you through those times. Amen? So listen. What we're going to do this morning now, I believe that some of you have got dreams that God has spoken into your life hopes may be for your unsaved family, may be destiny for you. Maybe it's changing you because there's one aspect of the character that you're showing that isn't really good. I want you to plant it today. Plant it in Christ, because he is your greatest treasure. And when you plant something, that's when the transformation happens. And you know what? Glory will come to God and to God alone. Amen? So I want you to stand up with me, because I'm not going to minister to you now. It's all right. You enjoy yourself sitting there, Claire. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Just come, beautiful Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've been so generous, Lord God, to sow the life of your Son into our lives. Thank you that you didn't hold back anything. Thank you, Father, that you were promised to give the treasures of darkness and secret riches from hidden places. Thank you, Lord. So now I'm going to plant what you've given me into Christ, so that you can, this is for you, Lord. This is not treasure for me. This, I want to give you treasure, Lord, because you are my greatest treasure. So the first thing we're going to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And we can say it together. Forgive me for the way that I haven't liked darkness, and I fought against it, and I've tried to run away from it. I never valued it at all. I thought it had power over me, and I find out now it had no power at all. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me that I've got disappointed. Forgive me that I've allowed the enemy to steal all the goodness of the seed of life that you've put within me. And I'm planting it in Christ. Because I want your treasures. This is not for me, Lord. This is for you. I'm wanting to give you the treasures of what you've planted in me. Hallelujah. Just make your own words with God. This is something you're planting. This is you're planting for the future. You're planting because you know he's planted in you the beautiful Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid, because he says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Lord, maybe you can say, I don't quite understand everything, Lord. Well, that's all right. But I believe it. I believe what your word says. I believe that you speak truth. I believe there is power in your word. And I'm giving you permission to bring the power of your word. I will receive the riches and the from hidden places and the treasures of darkness into my life. I want to be generous to you, Lord. I really want to be generous to you. And I haven't got any treasures of myself until you put them in my life. And you've been so generous, Lord, to put these treasures in my life. You sowed mercy into me. You sowed love into me every morning. You sowed grace to me when I didn't think I could cope. You sowed strength to me when I was so weak. You sowed healing when you brought me out from that difficulty. You healed that relationship. Whatever. He's been so generous to us, hasn't he? Why don't you thank him for being generous to you? He sowed everything. And because he sowed his son, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:32, because he's given everything, he will not withhold anything. Anything. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on your innermost being, your spirit man. Everything comes to your spirit man. It doesn't come to your head. It doesn't come to your flesh. It comes to your spirit man. And tell the Lord, I receive the treasures of darkness that you have given me, that you won for me on the cross, that you endured for me with joy. I received those treasures, Lord. I received them. And now I offer them back to you as a love offering, as a love offering in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Dara moshuto kudra machente kesidi, yola motodra machente kesidi kira. Yala vasuto kuriana machente kide. And I believe the Lord would say, don't be afraid, my children. Don't be afraid. I'm your daddy. I'm your father. I love you. I won't keep anything back from you, but I want you to believe in me and believe in my word. I want you to receive these treasures because it's going to make you rich and it's going to enable you to pour out to others the treasures I poured into you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Spirit is working. There are tears flowing now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My perfect love will cast out all fear. I love you perfectly, says the Lord. I love you with an everlasting love. I loved you in your mess. I loved you in your darkness. And that's why I came. I didn't hold back. I came because I wanted you to be my treasure. And now when we receive these treasures of darkness, we give back to him what he won when he won us, when he paid the debt that we did not deserve. Or just give him thanks, just where you are. Let thankfulness rise up within you. Where would you be? Where would I be if God hadn't rescued me from the darkness and made me his treasure? Where would we be? Where would we be? Holy Spirit, incubate these seeds that people are sowing now. Incubate them in the hothouse of your presence. Fertilize these seeds that people are sowing, Father God, so that there is transformation, that you won't walk the same as you've walked before. You won't look behind you in fear. You won't look ahead of you in terror, but you will abide in his presence because you are his treasure. His treasure. His treasure. Just come, beautiful Spirit of God. I just feel pain. Some of it is emotional pain. And he's saying, now, let's come and bury that pain. Bury that thing that keeps tormenting you, keeps making you feel guilty, keeps making you feel unclean, keeps taking hold of your life, and you know that it's not pleasing to God. We're going to do some burying now. If anybody wants to make a point of moving forward, just come here. Because when you respond to a word, that's when God activates that word in you.